going blank on who this is. I obviously know this song, though.
Oh, The Cars.
The Cars. Mm-hmm. You're an 80s...
Just in the mood today. I don't know why.
VH1 mood today.
It's a weird... I wake up in the morning and there's weird songs in my head. And today was 80s stuff. So I just kind of found some 80s playlists that we've already had on here and went to it.
I woke up today and started listening to the new Eminem album.
Ah, yes. That unreported, no pub, just drop that Twitter blew up on. Yes.
Yeah, okay. We just showed up in our Apple Music.
Our boy Suave just tweeted out, hey, rappers, don't get it twisted. You can't be like Eminem and J. Cole and just drop something without some pub. You need to publicize your stuff to make sure people are going to see it.
Thanks, Suave. Suave. Best Cars song, by the way? What was that one? That was Good Time? No, it was...
This is Just What I Needed.
Just What... That's right.
Oh, that's supposed to be what it was. Didn't feel like it, but...
That's what it was. We just never got to it.
Yeah.
Just What I Needed.
Yeah, that one's a good one.
You Shake It Up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Drive is probably just their best song. I mean, traditionally.
Yeah. You might think. I remember that video vividly on MTV. Yeah.
You might think I'm a boo-boo-boo. Mm-hmm. Can't remember any lyrics. And what was the one, the video where it was all like Alice in Wonderland-y? Was that?
That was Tom Petty.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Don't come around here no more.
I think one of those that were maybe Shake It Up. One of them, there's a weird Cars video.
That's You Might Think. Okay. That's the weird where he's kind of a fly at one point in time.
Yeah, yeah, okay, that's the one. Mm. Yeah, that's right.
Real quick, we had it up. It was Broke-ted this morning with Kevin Burhaney when Mike Wilcott came in.
Did you say Broke-ted?
It was Broke. I think I said Broke-ed. It was Broke this morning with Mike Wilcott and Kevin Burhaney because Kevin Burhaney just brings news. The Three Dog Night, another headliner coming to the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. Along with the Oak Ridge Boys, there's a few other bands there. The older, yes, but that's going to bring, those are some big time names already coming there, and there's still more to announce.
Okay, so you said this is a headliner for the summer?
One of the headliners, yes. Yeah. So the press release was, I had missed.
Is Leonard and Friends considered a headliner?
No, Oak Ridge Boys headliners are more like your Trace Atkins, your...
I apparently don't know very much about Three Dog Night at all.
Three Dog Night is a classic band from the 60s.
I mean, I've heard of them.
Yeah. That's a big get. They've been touring for 50 years. And they've got
I know
a lot
Joy
of
to the World, and I think that's all I can tell you off the top of my head.
You might know if you heard them. I was going to play some here in a little bit. I know it's not 80s, but I'll play some in a little bit.
Yeah,
but,
bring it on.
That's big news. That's awesome. And that's more stuff, fun stuff coming. So June 5th, Three Dog Night. Judging by the post, there are a lot of folks that are pretty happy with that one and already marking their calendars. So that'll be another big show for the Devon Lakeshore Amphitheater. So I wanted to throw that out there real quick.
I didn't know how we were going to do this from the future, but I guess when they book him, he's just going to announce them.
Yeah, yeah.
So you get a little bit of good news at any random time.
Yep. Yep, it's going to be fun. I'm going to say, quote, smaller acts. I think Leonard and Friends is a smaller deal than what 3 Dog Night would be. As far as the scope of music, but you're going to, a lot of those fun shows are going to be out throughout the weekend at Devon. And that's, man, that is, I did not expect it to be like this for the first year and a half or for a year and a quarter of, here are the names you're going to bring in, here's the popularity it's going to be, and here's the buzz it's going to be around it. That's awesome. But I didn't mean to step on. I know we're going to announce finalists, but I wanted to get that out there real quick before I forgot about it.
Yeah, that's good.
Finalists and then probably some baseball talk coming up here in a bit. So.
And by the way, hour two all week long, courtesy of Boreal Offices. They're downtown Decatur, 225 South Main Street in the Buick Building next to the Milliken Wrestling Building. They specialize in bankruptcy, family law. You can update the will. If you don't have a will, get a will. That doesn't take much, and it's not real expensive. But just get that on the books with Boreal Offices. And, of course, a lot of things like divorce and child placement and real estate law, you know, things like that you don't want to have to deal with in life, but if you are stuck having to deal with it, then you're going to want to get a lawyer and you're going to want to get a good one. Boreal Office has been doing it coming up on 40 years. You want to get them on the books. 422-2400, 422-2400, and they're going to help you through it and walk you through it and make the process as easy as possible if you need them. You ready to officially, you know, it's been the end of football season was Thanksgiving, but mm-hmm. We always wait. There's no need trying to schedule this through the holidays. We want people to come to the banquet, so we wait till January very patiently. For the 10th year, we're ready to have our Real Men Wear Pink Awards at the HSHS St. Mary's Hospital celebration of another year of breast cancer awareness.
Like it.
It's more than just an October thing. They pick a date throughout the year, rock the pink. Everybody, them pink shirts. You walk into the Y at any point, walk into a gym at any point, you're going to see these pink T-shirts, which is just awesome. And then on top of it, the kids are learning more and more about just awareness and talking to mom and talking to older sisters and talking to grandma and talking to aunts about, you do think about yourself once in a while, right? You go get yourself checked out, things like that. So the awareness is coming around, and it's not weird. It's not weird anymore to make sure that that mom takes care of herself, even in the breast cancer world. But with that, we have a little fun with football, and you know, which means some people are going to get mad. But we get nominations in, we get all the stats in from the schools that'll send them to us anyway. I didn't get everybody's. The goal is to have every school have at least one finalist. So if they sent us anything, every school is represented at least once. It gets a little tricky around the defensive positions because you've now got, you know, some linebackers that go to the outside that might be considered linemen. We just, you know, go best guess and ask the coaches, where would you say they spent most of their time?
Mm-hmm.
Some linebackers. Jeffrey Wells is real tough to figure out because he hits like a linebacker. He plays up like a linebacker. But you know what? He's a safety. So he, you know, a guy like him, we put in the defensive back category. And we'll tell you in a minute if he's a finalist. Give me a position, Matt. What do you want to know about first?
Oh my goodness!
How many finalists do we take? However many it takes to get the you know, it first of all depends on how many are on the field. If there's one quarterback at a time on the field, well, then we're only taking 7 finalists. If there's 1 to 2 running backs, we're taking 7 finalists. If there's 4 defensive backs, then we're going to take more like 9 or 10.
Okay.
So it just we take what we have to get. We have brought back the underclassmen category this year. I did not get any nominations from coaches last year. This year we got nominations, so it is back. And I just tell you, I took them all because the 12 that were nominated all had great years, and they're not even juniors yet.
No,
well, they are now, but I believe all of them may have been sophomores and one freshman. But I'll tell you about it. So quarterback, running back, receiver, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, defensive back, underclassman, coach. What do you want to know first, Matty?
I want to go offensive line. I want to throw out there, you know.
So start with the gold.
Let's start with the gold, the ones that make it happen.
There's no way to differentiate. Nobody sees every team play.
Oh,
We're the closest thing here. So when we ask, and who's going to vote on this? We are putting out the ballot. They're going to be able to vote for the whole next week. The coaches, the athletic directors, and our media panel. But these are the finalists. And since nobody sees every lineman, it's almost impossible to do it that way. And then people would just kind of follow what the Herald and Review chose. We don't want to echo everything they do if people have their own opinion. So we put the whole line together. Whose line had the best year? And I'm going to spare you of some stats unless there's something unbelievable that pops up here. But the first offensive line that is in is our Geno Orianna. The Bombers are in. They are a finalist. They were able to block for over 4,000 yards and over 60 touchdowns. This is the one I'm giving you some stats because I'm stalling because one thing that did not make my sheet was the actual linemen. They are Gavin Glody, Jacob Brown, Carson Dahmann, Logan Jordan, and Jackson Pruitt. So they are an offensive line that is a finalist. Our next offensive line are the Raiders of Central A&M. Of course, they went to state, over 4,700 yards, over 60 touchdowns, and so 399 yards a game, I'll tell you. 399 yards a game.
Wow.
That's Jesse Maples, Trey Myers, Christian Perkins, Jarrett Robertson, Keegan Waterman, and Lane Whitney. The third offensive line finalists are the Trojans of Moreau Forsyth. Over 430 yards a game throughout their 11 games that they were able to do. Mickey Appleby, Anthony Campbell, Reed Fitzpatrick, Tanner Hetz, Johnny Luttrell, and Stone Soa. Our fourth offensive line finalists are the Mount Zion Braves. 365 yards a game through their 11 games. Ryan Butts, Josh England, Garrett Marshall, Peyton Moreau, Anthony Nash, and Chastain Summers. And the last offensive line finalist, duking it out, is the St. Teresa Bulldogs. Jackson Arnold, Justice Chapman, Jackson Hogan, Connor Kernigan, Sebby Lampley, and Tyler Woods. Tyler, not Tiger. Tyler Woods. 400 yards a game for St. Teresa. And that offense. Which defense you want to hear about next, Matt?
Oh, my goodness. Let's go linebackers.
Your linebacker finalist for the 10th Annual Awards, Egan Bender from Mount Zion, 145 tackles. 145 tackles.
Wow.
Most tackles on the list. Denham Cook, St. Teresa, 108 tackles. Sage Davis, Mount Zion. Let's see, what, 11 tackles for a loss, 5.5 sacks, got to the quarterback 8 times, scored a touchdown on defense, huge year. Nick Finley, Sangamon Valley, their best player, monster in the trenches for him. LSA linebacker Isaac Faust, almost 90 tackles on the season. Connor Hutchins, Central A&M, 106 tackles this year, 10 of those for loss, also had 2 interceptions. Meridian's Graham Meisenhelter, over 90 tackles, 2 for a loss, and 3 interceptions. Moreau Forsyth freshman, Aiden Reiser. Mm. Aiden Reiser, 87 tackles, 9 for a loss, forced a fumble. And Argeno Orienta's Mikhail Stanley, 90 tackles, 9 for a loss, and 8 sacks. 8 sacks, Mikhail Stanley. Those are your linebacker of the year finalists. Give me another one. Quarterback, running back, or receivers?
Let's go. I'm intrigued for running back.
Your running back finalists. Bryson Bowes, Moreau Forsyth, over almost 800 total yards with 12 touchdowns. A guy you've maybe heard of, Macon County Player of the Year for the Herald Review, Denham Cook, over 2,000 yards rushing, rushed for 28 touchdowns, caught 2 more, and 184 yards as a sophomore. Kobe Crafton, LSA, that junior ran for just under 800 yards and 5 touchdowns. Cade Colt, Moreau Forsyth, the other head of the two-headed rushing attack with Bowes. He's over 600 yards rushing, 13 touchdowns. Mount Zion's Sage Davis, over 1,400 yards rushing, had 19 touchdowns, one of those he caught. Connor Hutchins, Central A&M, a finalist going on both sides of the ball. Almost 600 yards rushing, but almost 700 yards receiving. Didn't even realize just how many balls Hutchins caught out of the backfield. 53 catches out of the backfield for Hutchins, and a combined 20 touchdowns. And then another two-way finalist, Mikhail Stanley, Argeno Orienta, took 165 carries this year for over 1,900 yards, caught 14 balls for 200 more, and he ran in 28 touchdowns.
Wow.
So you're 7 finalists for running back of the year. Defensive back or defensive lineman?
I want to go – let's go defensive back.
Defensive backs? Well, there's going to be one guy here that blows your mind stat-wise. I'll tell you him last.
Okay.
For starters, Anthony Cherry, St. Teresa. Was not all conference, was not all county, did not get any awards, but the guy had 98 tackles, 3 interceptions, and forced a fumble, and had 4 tackles for loss. Great year. Connor Heaton, Central A&M, 6 interceptions. You pick off almost a ball every other game, or every game and a half, you're gonna get a little bit of love. Connor Heaton, 6 picks. A.J. Lawson, MacArthur, this is an utterly over and above and beyond knowing the game finalist slot because his stats aren't crazy. Nobody threw against A.J. Lawson. He did have a couple interceptions, but he's the best coverage corner, I believe, that we have in Central Illinois. Drew London, Mount Zion, over 50 tackles, had 3 picks, forced a fumble, 3 tackles for loss. Christian Scott, Meridian, 99 tackles for Christian Scott. He's known, Coach Hauser told us in our basketball conversation a week ago, Christian just puts his head in there and fights. Well, he did it in football, too, almost one shy of a 100-tackle season. Also had 5 interceptions.
Wow.
Joey Stobbs, St. Teresa, All-State,
yep.
Over 50 tackles, 3 for a loss, and had 6 interceptions. Clinton's Drew Stacy, he's a tweener. He's kind of a linebacker safety, but but Coach Ridgeway said he would put him in the defensive back category. Over 7 tackles, 7 for a loss, recovered a couple fumbles. MacArthur's Jeffrey Wells, another guy like Lawson. Jeffrey's a hybrid though. He hits like a linebacker, but plays more like a safety in his position. But he comes up and made 74 tackles and had 4 interceptions on the year, as they tried to throw on him a little bit. They didn't try to run towards him, tried to throw towards him to go away from Lawson, and, he made him pay a few times. And then the one whose stats are just kind of silly, Jacob Parody.
Okay.
125 tackles, 4 for a loss, 6 interceptions. Recovered a fumble and scored a defensive touchdown.
Goodness.
So I don't say that like he's going to automatically win. Everybody will base their year on the same thing. You know, Jacob Parody played 14 games. Anthony Cherry played 13 games. A guy like Jeffrey Wells only played 10 games.
Right.
So Christian Scott only played 9 games. And, you know, it's everybody will base, the coaches and ADs will base their voting on what they think creates the player of the year in that category. So that's our defensive backs. You want quarterbacks or receivers?
Oh.
Actually, first, let me tell you the head coaches.
I was just saying, I want to do either a head coach or a classman. Go ahead.
So this is This is very simple because we put every coach that made the playoffs in. Now, if somebody took a team from like 0 wins to maybe 5 and didn't make the playoffs, we would also put them in. But this is easy. It's the coaches that made the playoffs. Patrick Etherton, Mount Zion, they go 10-1, win the Apollo Conference. Josh Joseph, Merle Forsythe, they go 9-2. They're the runner-ups in the Sangamo Conference. They made the second round. Steve Kirk or Jen Arianna, they went 9-2 in his departure season.
Yeah.
He has since resigned and will be moving on, but hopefully we get a chance to say goodbye to Coach Kirk at the banquet. They were the Lincoln Prairie Conference champions, even though they lost the first week to Arcola. That game didn't count as a conference matchup, so they won it outright on the top. Went to the second round of the 1A playoffs. Mark Ramsey, St. Teresa, they go 11-2, made the Class 2A state playoff semifinals, I believe the third time in his 4 seasons, and they were the runner-up in the Central Illinois Conference. Derek Spates, MacArthur, Class 5A state playoff qualifier, they go 5-5 this year. Chris Ridgeway, Clinton, they go 6-4, and then qualify for the Class 4A state playoffs, which makes it pretty hard to overcome.
Yeah.
And then, of course, Brent Weakley, Central A&M, 13-1, champions of the CIC, made it all the way to the state championship game before falling short against Alena Winslow team that was mighty, mighty strong.
Mighty, mighty strong.
All right, so what do we got left? Quarterback, receiver.
Let's do receiver.
Defensive line and underclass.
No, quarterback. Give me quarterback.
Your quarterback finalist, Connor Heaton, Central A&M, threw for 2,600, ran for 800, combined for 56 touchdowns. Deion Jackson, MacArthur, threw for 1,500, ran for 1,100, combined for 30 touchdowns. Wade Justice, Merle Forsythe, threw for over 2,000, ran for 300, combined for 24 touchdowns. Brylon Phillips Eisenhower, threw for 2,300 and 24 touchdowns. Ashton Summers, Mount Zion, threw for just under 2,000, and threw for 22 and ran in 3 more for a total of 25 touchdowns. Garrett Wayne, Clinton, threw for over 950, ran for over 1,100, combined for 19 touchdowns. And Josh Williams, our Jen Arianna, only threw for about 660, but ran for over 1,500.
Wow.
Ran for 27 scores, threw for 6 more, so he's responsible for 33 touchdowns. Good luck picking a winner in that group.
That's a tough one. That might be the toughest category.
I think so. You want under? How about underclassmen?
Underclassmen, bring it on.
So again, it's a list of 12. We got these 12 underclassmen that were noted or obvious, and I was like, how do I differentiate what some of these guys are doing? You know what? Let's bring all these youngsters. Most of them are going to be there already anyway. Let's just bring them all on stage, and a couple of the other ones deserve to be there. So. Our 12 nominees for top underclassmen. St. Teresa's Justice Chapman had 59 tackles, 12.5 for a loss, 3.5 sacks. St. Teresa's Denham Cook, told you about his 2,000 rushing yards and 28 touchdowns. Defensively, 108 tackles. It's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Merle Forsythe's Cade Culp, as a running back, over 600 yards and 13 touchdowns. As a linebacker, 37 tackles, 5 for a loss with an interception. Mm-hmm. Mount Zion wide receiver Christian Cahey, 30 catches, 734 yards, and 10 touchdowns. Running back linebacker at Warrensburg Latham, Luke Hall, he ran, as a running back, he had like 200 yards and 2 touchdowns, but really he's on here because of his defense. Over 60 tackles, 2 for a loss, 2 sacks, an interception, forced 2 fumbles, recovered 1, and scored a defensive touchdown.
As a freshman.
As a freshman, he's a freshman?
Or, sorry, I underclassman, I'm sorry. I
thought maybe you knew him. I can't remember if he's a freshman or sophomore. I think he's sophomore, yeah. They're all sophomores so far, including Graham Meisenheld, a Meridian. He's up for top underclassman. He did have 2 touchdowns rushing, but also over 90 tackles as a linebacker, 2 for a loss, and had 3 interceptions. Eisenhower's quarterback, Brylon Phillips, 2,300 passing yards and 24 touchdowns. Here's the freshman, Merle Forsythe linebacker, Aiden Reiser, 87 tackles, 9 for a loss. Jarrett Robertson, Central A&M, on the field all the time. Offensive starting lineman, defense over 70 tackles, 5 for a loss. Kicker on special teams with 73 for 82 on his extra points.
Wow.
Missing 9 out of 82 is like godly anymore.
Yeah.
We can't find kickers that can just make extra points in high school. So Jarrett will be up for top underclassmen. 3 more. Emmanuel Ruffton. Wide receiver and defensive back for LSA. He caught 3 balls for over 100 yards and a touchdown, but he's on here because on defense, he had 106 tackles.
Wow.
And I think he is a freshman. That's another freshman on the list.
Well, that's crazy.
Eisenhower sophomore Karan Shelley, their wide receiver, caught 37 balls for 743 yards and 10 touchdowns. And a defensive lineman for Regina Oriana, Devrion Young. This kid's going to be special, I think. down the stretch these last 2 years. 56 tackles, four of those for a loss, and had two sacks. So that is that's good stuff. So we go D-line and receivers. Defensive lineman finalists. We'll try and get this in by 4:30 here.
Yeah.
Chance Baldwin from Clinton, over 70 tackles, 12 for a loss and three sacks. Wow. Chad Deaton, Mount Zion, 70 tackles, 10 for a loss, 2.5 sacks, forced two fumbles and had a pick. Johnny Luttrell from Moroa, 60 tackles, 7 for a loss, 2 sacks, recovered 2 fumbles. Jesky Maples, Central A&M, check this out, 80 tackles, 22 tackles for a loss.
Yeah.
In the backfield all year. Adam Maxwell, Warrensburg Latham, 68 tackles, 9 for a loss, 5 sacks, 4 forced fumbles. That's a big number. You forced 4 fumbles. Jarrett Robertson, Central A&M, told you a minute ago, but over 70 tackles, 5 for a loss. Here's another big one. Domenico Sassano,
yep.
St. Teresa, 51 tackles, but 18 for a loss and 7 sacks.
Wow.
The last one is All-Stater Stone Soa from Moroa Forsyth, 63 tackles, 11 for a loss, 3.5 sacks. Pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
Pretty impressive group as we get you all the way back to our wide receivers, which we actually call pass catcher because it could also include tight ends. Finalists are Jacob Bryle, St. Teresa, over 609 scores. Ben Gilbert, Moreau Forsyth, caught 31 for 662 and 9, ran it 30 times for 297 and another score. Drew Hicks, Moreau Forsyth, 30 catches for 582 and 4 touchdowns, carried it 12 times for almost 200 and 2 more scores. Cahey from Mount Zion, told you a minute ago, 30 catches, 734 and 10. A.J. Lawson, MacArthur on the way to Iowa, 39 catches for 681, scored 7 of those. Carried it 13 times for 125 and scored one touchdown on the ground. Jacob Parity, Central A&M, caught 63 for 1,431, caught 21 touchdowns, ran it 34 times for 248 yards and 5 more, 26 touchdowns out of Parity. Told you Karan Shelley a minute ago, 37 catches for 743 and 10 touchdowns. And finally, Joey Staub, St. Teresa, 28 catches, 566 and 5 scores. Also had 33 carries for 327 and 4 touchdowns. If you missed anything, we're going to have it all posted at nowdecatur.com, and it's coming on Facebook as well. We get a break. Here's some stories.
This is Matt with your stories now. With icy and freezing weather in the forecast for the weekend, extra preparation for traveling and driving under winter conditions is highly encouraged. Throughout the winter, especially during adverse conditions, you should always practice basic winter driving skills and build extra time in your schedule as a simple precaution. As part of IDOT's Winter Weather Get It Together campaign, they have compiled a list of simple tips and tricks about road safety during the winter months. For a complete list of tips and tricks, go to nowdecatur.com. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital has launched an advanced critical care telemedicine program for hospital intensive care units that will ensure the highest quality of care for their sickest patients. HSHS St. Mary's partnered with Advanced ICU Care to deliver their new monitoring system of highly trained physicians and critical care specialists that will be available 24/7, providing an extra layer of care to enhance patient safety. The program continuously monitors patients' vital signs, labs, and clinical status. It will also provide protective data management tools that will help identify problems before they become urgent and prompt immediate intervention when necessary. For these stories, podcasts, and videos, check out NowDecatur.com.
Ready to mount a full defense of the president.
Jordan Sekulow, a member of the president's impeachment defense team, his father, Jay, heading it up. Among the new members of that team, Harvard Law professor Alan Dershowitz and former independent counsel Ken Starr. First, the controversy over the location of a church in Bethlehem. Jeopardy getting this wrong, the clue. In a two-week period in 2018, the East Coast was walloped by three of these storms, named from the direction from which they came. The answer producers called correct. What is a nor'easter? Wasn't. Those storms moved from south to north. No contestant could identify a photograph of this man.
1/53rd of California's House delegation is this Intelligence Committee chairman. His name is Adam Schiff.
Schiff, one of the House impeachment managers. America is listening to Fox News.
Hi, Fighting Illini fans. I'm Brian Barnard. Welcome to the Illini Today for this Friday. And on today's show, as we wrap up the week, the show brought to you by State Farm Insurance. We take a look ahead to tomorrow's Illinois men's basketball game against Northwestern and the rest of the Illini sports action next on the Illini Today.
Kate and Lyle is making food extraordinary. We turn corn grown right here in the heartland into extraordinary ingredients to help our customers make healthier and tastier products enjoyed by millions of consumers around the world. While our business has a global reach, we maintain a strong focus locally, providing comprehensive grain services to our farmers through our elevator network and supporting the communities we both call home. Tate and Lyle, making food extraordinary.
To demonstrate State Farm mobile app's new voice-activated features, we bring you Pro QB and State Farm brand icon, Aaron Rodgers.
Thanks, enthusiastic voiceover.
Take it away.
Well, you can tell it stuff, like, show me my bill.
Here is your bill.
There you have it. Thanks, Aaron.
You don't want me to talk about how I can pull up my insurance card or call my agent?
Ooh,
or...
we are out of time.
Well, I just did.
What a pro. Voice-activated help from the State Farm mobile app. Talk to an agent or visit statefarm.com today.
Well, on this Friday, we get ready for men's basketball tomorrow at 4 o'clock at State Farm Center. Illinois and Northwestern, the Illini have won three straight. They're up to number 24 in the AP Top 25 college basketball poll. And looking to keep that momentum going against Northwestern, some big wins at Wisconsin and over Purdue and Rutgers. Head coach Brad Underwood says his team has made a lot of progress since early in the year.
You know, just look earlier in the year. You know, early in the year, we were trying to make plays for ourselves. We weren't being selfish. We had guys and that were trying to make plays to help our team win, but they weren't the right plays. And the game of basketball will always win if you don't make the right play. And I go back to the Wisconsin game. Iowa was so dominant in that time frame at the end of the game. You know, he had three assists, which led to 9 points. Trent, he made the right pass at the right time. Early in the year, I'm not sure he would have done that.
It's Illinois Northwestern tomorrow at 4 p.m. in Champaign. Women's basketball, after a trip to Purdue, they'll be at Ohio State Sunday at 1 p.m. Central. Illini wrestling team will be at Ohio State Sunday at noon Central time for a wrestling meet before three straight Big Ten duels at Huff coming up. Women's gymnastics will be at Huff 1 o'clock Saturday. They'll host Michigan. That'll be tomorrow. Men's gymnastics up in the Windy City tomorrow night for the Windy City Invitational at 7:30 tomorrow evening. And men's tennis at the Martin Luther King Invitational down in Atlanta at Georgia Tech starting today. And that will do it for today's edition of the Illini Today. Go Illini!
St. Teresa is a small school with big results. The average ACT score for the senior class is 24.2, the highest in over a decade. St. T's college prep curriculum and unique class offerings include classes like forensics, graphic design, and piano. These classes offer opportunities for every student to succeed. As guidance counselor, I meet with each student individually to develop the best academic plan for their 4 years at St. T. To learn more, call me, Maya Fombell, guidance counselor at St. Teresa High School, 875-243. Or check us out online at stteresa.org.
This is the Eric Lee Show on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
I don't know who this is.
Billy Squire.
Billy Squire.
Yeah.
Is this the only Billy Squire song to play?
I don't think so. I thought there were some other hits he had.
Mm.
The Stroke.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's...
Lonely as the Night.
Is he still, like, alive? Does he still play?
I thought
he's a name you don't hear much about. Like,
hey, going down to FM to see Billy Squire this weekend.
I thought he died. Damn wrong.
Hey, Siri, is Billy Squire alive? I hope I activate somebody's Siri. or somebody's Alexa.
We had done that before with some Alexas and stuff. Yeah. I think that was, yeah. Had to reword some things to make sure we didn't set systems off when we had the commercial play or whatever.
36 and counting. We are winding things down. A Friday that we thought we had stuff planned, it has started raining downtown Decatur.
It has. some currency ran out there. As I look past you over towards the Regions Bank and the ADM building over there, I see precipitation on the ground for sure. People are walking. Nobody's falling down, so I don't think it's that bad yet. But looking at the radar, it looked like it was going to pick up a little bit.
This is going to be that deceitful slick. Yes. It's 30.
Yes.
So it's going to be slick sometimes. Sometimes it's going to be wet.
That's the bridges. That's all those things there where the wind whips through and kind of has a, yeah, that's where those get really dangerous.
Seven Bridges Road.
Yeah, oh, man. Mm-hmm. Six Bridges Road, okay, but seven, doomed.
It's where you're in trouble.
Yeah.
So it's supposed to snow until, snow until about 7, 8, 9 o'clock, and then the temperature's going to go up a few more degrees, and it's going to be right at freezing.
Yep.
32 is freezing, right?
Mm-hmm.
32 Fahrenheit, not calculus.
Right.
And then it's going to go up to about 34 degrees at 10 o'clock night, 36 at 1 in the morning, 37 at 2 a.m., 39 at 3 a.m. It'll be 43 by 7 a.m. tomorrow, and then the sun will come up. That is so weird to look at that.
It's going to warm up, and then throughout the day tomorrow, it's going to drop again. It's going to be windy, you know, 35-mile-per-hour
wind
gusts.
Oh, my goodness. Sunday's high is 14?
Yes. Yes.
Is that why you're making all those UGG sounds?
Yes, because the low on Saturday is supposed to be cold.
Six.
Yeah. It's going to go from 42 at like 10 a.m. to 6.
Barf.
Yeah, that's a date of that's when you want to stay in.
But the sun will be out.
Sure.
Partly cloudy.
It's going to be less, you know, cold, I guess. Sunday, it's supposed to be nice, sunny outside. And then, again, as we go through the next couple of days after that, it's going to get back up in the 30s. And, you know, we'll have a little bit of winter.
Next Friday, a high of 44.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the 39 on Wednesday.
Yeah. It's wintertime, but it's crazy how we're halfway through the month of January. We haven't had that many days below, you know, 20 degrees, which is last year felt totally different. Like it felt like every day was 20 degrees outside, cold, and, you know, wind would go through you. But this year has been really, really mild. I got my hair cut, Megan Timmons over at, Perfect Pair.
Yeah.
She, we were talking and her kids, her oldest is the same age as mine, and she's been outside probably 3 days a week. When have you heard of that in November, December, January, where you're outside 3 days a week to play
mm-hmm.
and not bundled up in snow stuff, you know, looking like Ralphie from not Ralphie.
Not Ralphie. No. What's his little brother's name? Randy.
Yeah, thank you. I was saying it's past Christmas, so it doesn't really count. If before Christmas, we should know this. But anyways, so, yeah, it's going to be a little dicey on the way home, guys. So be careful, guys and gals. Be careful driving home. And throughout the night tonight, if you have to travel somewhere, be careful and leave yourself some time. But then tomorrow, it should be okay. And just make sure you bundle up for the weekend. It's going to be chilly.
Get bundled if you're walking around from bar to bar tomorrow.
Yeah, for some
reason. For some reason, yeah. Sitting on different stools.
Yeah, or going to the Meridian St. Teresa game tomorrow at 2 o'clock. You know, make sure you have that. Or you're going to the Illini game. We gave away all of our tickets and all that stuff there. Congrats to our Facebook winners for the Carnal Caravan on Monday. We had 3 pair of tickets left, and those went away rather quickly. For the event on Monday. The weather should be fine for that, which is nice. It seems like before the Carnal Caravan, the last 3 or 4 or 5 years, we've had some sort of ice storm or some sort of snow to where is it going to cancel, is it not? And the Cardinals always pull through, but we should be okay on Monday, so it should be a good day.
Cool. We're starting to get some stuff in. Baseball is getting more and more like it's broken.
Oh, my goodness.
The NFL, we got 2 big games on Sunday. Are you going to watch those? You doing anything Sunday?
I'm going to try
to. It's 14 outside. What the hell else are you going to do?
Maybe go see a movie.
You're going to walk into that crap to go to a movie?
Yes.
Go watch Frozen at home.
We're not going to watch Frozen. We're trying to watch Star Wars. One chance I got, I think, before it comes out.
So grown-up movie, so you have to get it out.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yep. By the way, the running back at Clemson, ETN,
yep.
Coming back to school.
Well, they're number one. Maybe he wants a title. Are they already, the preseason number one for next year? Because
we got a title. We got one last year.
Well, you wanted another one. I think he wanted to go out as a winner. So I might as well come back and do it again.
Their quarterback sure as hell wouldn't come back. He'd be gone. Especially after that. There's a story on, I got to watch some of this. There's a story on ESPN.com, or read some of this, how the internet helped crack the Astros sign-stealing case.
Okay.
So allegations started coming out. The Astros had stolen signs electronically during the 17 World Series. Jimmy O'Brien was sitting in his new apartment in Harlem waiting for 5 Verizon workers to finish setting up his cable internet. known better as John Boy, J-O-M Boy, O'Brien had broken into baseball internet prominence over the course of the 19 season with a series of hot mic videos and included turning Yankees manager Aaron Boone's Savages in the Box rant into a viral sensation. When O'Brien read the Athletic report that a banging sound could be heard from the Astros dugout whenever a changeup signal was given by an opposing team's catcher, he quickly began scouring the MLB TV archives using his cell phone as a hotspot. He didn't have his internet set up yet.
That's crazy.
He was far from the only one to track down Chicago White Sox reliever Danny Farquhar's now infamous 2017 appearance in Houston, but within 2 hours, O'Brien had pulled the video demonstrating the banging, added his voiceover commentary, and tweeted it out. With his phone buzzing from an influx of Twitter notifications, O'Brien called his girlfriend. "I think I opened a can of worms," he said. The can exploded Monday when Major League Baseball announced the one-year suspensions, of course, and the rest is history from there on.
So much more keeps coming out.
Carlos Beltran became the third manager to lose his job in his case before he got the chance to even be a skipper for a single game for the Mets. Mm-hmm. During the three-month investigation, the public scrutiny was unprecedented. A baseball scandal itself about technology unfolding in real time with more incriminating evidence seemingly uncovered on Twitter by the hour. One thing I haven't mentioned that we haven't actually said out loud is baseball fans is the most get-off-my-yard old man sport of them all. And so they hate technology.
Yes.
So that guy is going to, and again, I'm not saying I think you strip them of the damn title if we find out that they had way too much of an advantage. Like, how many pitches did they really know? How many curveballs did they not buckle one inch and you heard a banging sound of some kind?
Mm-hmm.
How many changeups did they just sit on and their weight never shifted whatsoever until it was time to smoke that changeup? How many fastballs were they all over? Typically, you just guess fastball and react to the rest. I mean, that's what pro hitting coaches say.
Sure.
So all this other stuff of no, if you hear a bang and they sat on a changeup, if you hear a bang and they sat on a curveball, if they had that a few too many times, I'm ready to strip them of a title. And then we got to find out more about the Red Sox. And, I mean, this is just – and now it's just – it's going to become – everybody throw everybody under the bus time now.
Yeah, I think so. What is it? Carlos Beltran's niece, did you see this on mm-hmm. Twitter? She came out and was talking about how Altuve and Bregman and a few other Astros had devices on their under their uniform that would vibrate for certain pitches and those things, so they knew what to do. Because the infamous Altuve home run in, what was it, game six, whatever it was, against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
He's getting ready to cross home plate, and he's telling guys, don't rip my jersey, don't rip my jersey, and he's trying to kind of hold his jersey up.
Yeah.
I think people at the time thought, oh, well, is that going to go to Cooperstown, or is he want to keep it for whatever else? But now it's speculated that she is saying that she knew for a fact, because obviously Carlos was on the team, that they had those devices under their thing.
So I did hear that. I didn't know it was her that said it.
So then it turned into pictures of, like, like pleats almost in the jerseys, or like a little creases, like, oh, there's one right there, there's one right there. And then people would make fun of those, like every time there's a fold in somebody's jersey, oh, there's a wire.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, those are, it's starting more. There was a report out today, Jack McDowell from the White Sox said that the White Sox in the early 80s were doing the same thing, not with this kind of technology, but they were, you know, watching video reviews and doing what they could to steal signs. And that in the late 80s, that was orchestrated by Tony La Russa.
More on this story just from a guy at home, O'Brien, this John Boy, J-O-M Boy, John Boy O'Brien. I just took all the information I had from all over the place, made the video, and told the story to my audience, but I didn't break this news. I helped accelerate it and helped people really see. It just kept going. People think I'm watching hours of Astros, but no, I crowdsourced this S-word. A Twitter timeline of his post that day reveals these key moments. At 1:39 a.m., follows his initial video with a second clip of a 2017 Evan Gattis at bat. No bang on a first pitch fastball. Two bangs on an off-speed second pitch. No bang on a third pitch fastball. 2:02 a.m. and 2:28 a.m. O'Brien posts similar clips featuring Josh Reddick, Jose Altuve, and Carlos Correa. Reddick, pitch one, fastball, no bang. Pitch two, two-seam, bang. Pitch three, two-seam, bang. Altuve, pitch one, off-speed, bang, hits it. Fastball, no bang to Correa, off-speed bang. I mean, there's so many proofs. The next day, the next clip was a homer from Springer. Adds a new flair, a big bang graphic indicated when the sound is audible. He said, listen to this one. Springer homers on an 0-2 pitch, an off-speed 0-2 pitch. What an advantage, man. A second follow-up clip on Alex Bregman's home run employs the same bang graphic. Bregman down again, 0-2, gets two off-speed pitches that come with the bang, spits on the first, homers on the second. Over the course of the next 24 hours, more videos popped onto Twitter. Writer Ian Hunter from Blue Jay Hunter, at Blue Jay Hunter on Twitter, put together a banging noises compilation from different Astros at bats in Houston, with then Blue Jays pitcher Marcus Stroman on the mound. A clip Stroman himself quote tweeted with the caption, "This is crazy." The clip was retweeted thousands of times, and its veracity was later confirmed by MLB's investigation, which noted in Monday's report, generally one or two bangs corresponded to certain off-speed pitches, while no bang corresponded to a fastball.
Mm-hmm.
This is getting worse and worse.
It is getting worse and worse. You're exactly right. And it is.
Do you look at Mike Fiers as a snitch who started this?
Well, I think partially you can, yeah, because I mean it's the term of.
I just hope he said at least one time in that dugout, we should not be doing this.
Yeah, I mean Beltran came out when he gave his kind of emotional address yesterday when he stepped down as Mets manager. It was something that was going on that we shouldn't have been doing it. We should have taken steps to stop it instead of keep going. It's the right thing to say for on his sake. But you're right. If that was heard, if we said, look, some of the guys were like, look, we need to stop doing this. This is kind of taken away from the, or did they all just get hungry in the fact that we're going to win a World Series title and we're going to get paid next year? Because some of those guys were on last year of contracts. And Bregman and company got fat deals after that happened. And there's no repercussion for the players.
A lot of angry tweeting, all from pitchers.
Of course.
And angry faces from Luis Severino. Well, actually, it was a SportsCenter posted. Former Astros pitcher Mike Fiers told The Athletic that the team used a camera in center field during their championship season in 17. They beat the Yankees. So Severino, that's not mad faces at Fiers. It's mad face at the situation. Kevin Gassman, this Astros thing is bad. Guys lost jobs, got sent down, missed service time because of how they were hit in Houston. Does anyone really think they only did this in 17? Hashtag get real. Trevor Bauer, oh, all caps. Oh, so you mean to tell me the guy videoing our dugout in 2018 ALDS wasn't just doing that to, quote, protect against the Indians stealing signs? Who would have ever guessed that he was up to no good? What a revelation. Maybe at MLB will do something about this time, but the confused guy emoji.
Yeah.
There's going to get more and more.
Look, I believe
come out.
Wasn't the hitting coach for the, somebody had put out there, I haven't got a chance to confirm this, if the Cardinals hired the Astros hitting coach after that year? Because they had such great years, so the Cardinals bring him in because you expect kind of some bigger deals. That obviously didn't happen. I need to verify that. But again, big deals out of that. No, nothing out of the players. There's no repercussion for any of the players. The only one who's going to get one right now is Carlos Beltran, who doesn't get a chance to manage his first game because, granted, he was a part of
this. Still nothing from baseball, but just how can you believe the Mets took this more seriously than Major League Baseball?
Well, the interesting part is, and the story with that was, you know, they interviewed him for the job. That came out. The Athletic report came out, and they pulled Carlos back in and said, "Okay, so what happened?" And apparently, Beltran was foregoing with everything. He's like, "Look, this is what we did. This is what went on." And as the report came out, and as these things happened, I think they just felt that it's the guy they wanted. Beltran was well liked around baseball, and he's the guy they wanted. He wanted to be there, and they wanted him there. And I think I'm not sure if it was just because of media scrutiny, or they felt like, "Look, this could be really damaging down the road. Maybe this hurts us down the road. We just have to do it now, and it's time for us to part ways." I don't know. I didn't think they would let him go. I figured because there's no repercussions for him, I mean, maybe they'll get some, you know, a bunch of questions to start off the season, but after a while, that's going to go away. But they just, you know, they felt it was time to move on. And I don't know, man. It's, we took a takeaway a couple days ago. We talked about this, and I didn't think there was a way for the Major League Baseball to strip them of the title, but look, maybe they do. Maybe this is let's take the trophy and, nobody wins a title. It's a vacated title that year.
Yeah, there is no giving it to the Dodgers because you don't know when the Astros would have lost. Why give it to we might want to give it to the Yankees.
Clayton Kershaw, Kershaw got obviously hated by Dodger fans for the way he pitched in that series, and now all Twitter is Clayton. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. I threw you under the bus for this. Clearly, there was something going on here. When you look at some of the pitches these guys hit out, they knew they were coming. There's not much you can do about that, and it's crazy. I did not expect it to be like this. I thought it was maybe a few games here and there.
This is bonkers.
This is bonkers.
And it's going to, I think it's, we're just, I think this is going to be a bad season. I think we're going to have a season of, and by bad season, I mean, this is all people are going to worry about.
We're going to talk about.
There's going to be a whole lot of speculation. There's going to be a whole lot of people looking around every stadium now who's possibly cheating. Well, you don't need to look around places like Kansas City because they're clear. You know, any of these teams that have won 50, 60, you don't got to look around Baltimore.
Right.
And in fact, you might want to inspect Baltimore and see if some of the road teams have installed anything. And they're just letting it get.
Here it is.
But
MLB sign stealing scandal could be heading to Washington as congressman calls for hearing to determine the extent to which the cancer is spread.
Mm.
Here we go.
Another funny thing is from their own documentary, they've gotten a few things. There's one where they show Altuve running up. So apparently when you go down from the dugout, there's a little room. In that little room is a table, a guy, a TV, a laptop, two chairs, and a garbage can.
Yes. I saw that.
Yes. Yeah. And like it's in the background of them showing Altuve run upstairs. Like he comes down the stairs, he walks through this little room, goes up another set of stairs. It's like, oh my gosh, blatant cheating. How do you not notice the banging? How is this 2 years later? I just feel like because some of these games, there's not that many people there. I just think I would notice that banging.
Well, I think with the sounds of the game, you're gonna hear stuff outside. You hear a lot of banging with dumpsters, everything else going on there. I think, and because it seemed like it was probably spread out, it wasn't like it was banging every pitch. But it was enough to where it was hidden, I think, with stadium sounds and everything else. And most people that are watching the game, I might think I'm going to hear, you know, something that's going to, you know, tip off pitches. So, I don't know. I hear what you're saying, but that's crazy.
I just watched a video of Altuve coming in after hitting a walk-off home run.
Yeah.
Covering that jersey up.
Yeah, that's the
like
one.
Like it's an old lady that's freezing cold. Do not rip this off.
He's yelling, don't do this, don't do this. And he holds it up, and that's crazy.
Yikes. Man, that's unbelievable. All right, we got to get a break. Baseball's getting a little silly. Talk about the football games, which you can hear on ESPN Radio on Sunday when we come back and wrap things up. Eric and Maddie, last chance at a 3-day weather forecast. Going to be cold, going to be a little icy maybe as well.
Some freezing precipitation out there right now. There's a chance of that throughout the rest of the evening until maybe around after 9 o'clock. Lower around 30 degrees. I think that's a safe bet to go with. There could be some freezing out there. Be careful on your drive home, but you should be all right. Tomorrow, rain likely before noon, then cloudy. Temperatures falling to around 25 degrees by 5 p.m. Wind gusts as high as 37 miles per hour. Yuck. Sunday, mostly sunny, though, and a high near 13. Right now in downtown Decatur, it is 29 degrees.
Dorfor Brewing Company is the local game day headquarters for watching live sports. Check out your favorite teams in high def while enjoying scratch recipes from the food truck and one of the area's largest selections of locally crafted beers. Dorfor has added more screens, more sound, and more channels to catch every home run, buzzer beater, goal, or touchdown. Sundays feature bottomless brunch and the NFL Sunday ticket. All you need from kickoff to the final horn. Dorfor Brewing on Cerro Gordo near Milliken. Crafted in community.
With the colder weather upon us, that means new seasons in high school sports. Need to get fitted with the best gear? Come to Played Against Sports in the Brentwood Village in Decatur. Played Against Sports has served the Decatur area for over 25 years. Whether you're playing basketball, wrestling, or ice hockey, Played Against Sports has what you need to have your best season. Looking to sell some new sports equipment? Played Against Sports will buy it. Visit PlayedAgainSportsDecaturIL.com to learn more. Played Against Sports. Everybody plays.
Join Milliken University on Tuesday, January 28th for the 2020 James W. Moore Lecture, Unwanted Spy, The Persecution of an American Whistleblower, featuring Milliken alum Jeffrey Sterling. Sterling, author, lawyer, and former CIA analyst, will discuss his fight for justice in the face of racial discrimination, federal espionage charges, and more than 2 years of imprisonment. Hear how Sterling's whistleblowing on the Iran task force ties into today's global affairs on January 28th in Milliken's Kuiper Hall. The event is free and open to the public.
422-2400 is a number you never want to have to use, but it's an important number to have just in case. 422-2400 is the number for Borey Law Offices, a law firm with the experience you can trust to deal with bankruptcy, divorce, family law, estate planning, and more. Andrew Borey offers you a straightforward and honest approach to keep you fully informed. When you call 422-2400, you'll reach a real human being to answer your questions, keep you up to date, and help protect your future. Borey Law Offices at 422-2400.
It's the 2020 Newhoff Media Wedding Extravaganza, presented by Saley Credit Union on Saturday, January 25th at the Mount Zion Convention Center. The Wedding Extravaganza offers selections for catering, DJ services, venue rental, hair, and more. Register to win great deals offered by vendors all at the 2020 Newhoff Media Wedding Extravaganza Saturday, January 25th at the Mount Zion Convention Center off of Highway 121. Some vendors included Arsino Formal Wear, Decatur Conference Center, Wethington's Flowers, and more.
This is the Eric Lee Show on WSOY 1340 AM and 103.3 FM. Streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Well, this isn't Cheap Trick, is it?
No, it's not even 3.9. I totally dropped the well on that. It's been a long week, man. It was a failure of a show on my end.
3.9 do this first?
What's that?
The Three Dog Night do this song first?
Nope.
Oh, I thought that's what you were saying then.
No. I didn't even play a song. Why?
Fired. Who is this?
Sorry. This is Cheap Trick.
This isn't actually Cheap Trick, though, is it?
Yeah, Cheap Trick.
That's what I just said. This isn't Cheap Trick, is it? You said no, and it's not Three Dog Night.
Oh, I thought you were making fun of the... Never mind. I'm sorry. Oh. Seriously.
That was actually a Cheap Trick version of that song?
Yeah.
That's what it says there.
On their album In Color.
It seemed a little different. Sounding. Maybe just hadn't got into it yet. All basketball games canceled tonight from all of our county schools. We've got a confirmation of all of them anyway. Makeups are starting to trickle in. Meridian will play at St. Teresa tomorrow afternoon. JV at 2. Varsity, you know, like always, right around 3:30-ish. Scott Chapman and Blake Allison will have the call over on ESPN Radio. Producer Dominique will be on with them tomorrow right around 3:15 or so. Then what? What's the other thing I was going to talk about? Sunday is, we'll have both NFL games on. Who's going to win? Who's going to the Super Bowl, Manny?
Chiefs, Packers.
I think it's Chiefs and Niners, but I'll be rooting for Chiefs and Packers. Give me all kinds of offense. Have a great night. Enjoy your weekend. Talk to you then.
Don't miss Byers & Company on Friday. Kevin Burhaney sits in for Brian with Nicole Bateman and so much more. Only on 1340 AM, 103.3 FM, WSOY Decatur, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
This is Matt with your stories now. With icy and freezing weather in the forecast for the weekend, extra preparation for traveling and driving under winter conditions is highly encouraged. Throughout the winter, especially during adverse conditions, you should always practice basic winter driving skills and build extra time in your schedule as a simple precaution. As part of IDOT's Winter Weather Get It Together campaign, they have compiled a list of simple tips and tricks about road safety during the winter months. For a complete list of tips and tricks, go to nowdecatur.com. HSHS St. Mary's Hospital has launched an advanced critical care telemedicine program for hospital intensive care units that will ensure the highest quality of care for their sickest patients. HSHS St. Mary's partnered with Advanced ICU Care to deliver their new monitoring system of highly trained physicians and critical care specialists that will be available 24/7, providing an extra layer of care to enhance patient safety. The program continuously monitors patients' vital signs, labs, and clinical status. It will also provide protective data management tools that will help identify